bread, her appetite gone. The room darkened. She wondered if he would be gone all night. She looked around, but saw no place to sleep but the floor. From the grove came a strange cry, and she shivered, remembering the rumor that the Kwakkan walked at night as a great bear. She did not hear the door open, but he was suddenly in the room with her.
"Come help me bring in some wood," he said,
and she got up and went out to find a pile of deadwood by the door. The last sunglow flared to the west. They broke the wood into lengths and brought it in. He lit candles and placed them in sconces along the walls, then laid a fire in the fireplace, but did not light it. He went out again and came back with a bundle that turned out to be a hot kettle, wrapped in cloth. Inside, a few coals kept several pannikins warm. As he unwrapped the cloth, a delicious smell of onions and mushrooms and meat gravy rose from the kettle. Pox found her mouth watering, and swallowed.
"Ebenford's best stew," he said,
setting the dishes out on the tables.
"And you were always one for fried mushrooms, weren't you? Sit down, go on, don't let it get cold. You're too thin, you know."
"I'm not hungry," said Pox, miserably.
"Nonsense. I saw your look when you smelled those mushrooms. Your body's got sense if you haven't."
Pox took a bite of mushrooms, succulent, hot, flavored with onions and meat. Before she realized what she was doing, she saw that the mushrooms were gone, and so was the stew. She was polishing the bowl with another slice of the dark bread. Her belly gurgled its contentment. She could not remember when she'd eaten so much. Not for a long time. Not since... She looked up. Master Oakhallow was watching her.
"Dessert," he said firmly. "Plum tart or apple?"
"Apple," said Pox, and he pushed the tart across. She bit into the flaky crust. Sweet apple juice ran down her chin. When the tart was gone, the Kwakkan was still eating his. Pox cleaned her chin with a corner of the cloth that had been around the kettle. She found herself holding another slice of bread and ate that. She felt full and a little sleepy. He finished his tart and looked at her.
"That's better," he said. "Now, you'll want to wash up a bit and use the jacks, I expect. Let me show you."
He touched a panel beside the fireplace, and it slid aside to reveal a narrow passage. On one side was a door, through which Pox caught a glimpse of a bunk. On the other, a door opened on three steps down to a stone-flagged room with a channel along one side. Pox heard the gurgle of moving water, and the candlelight sparkled on its surface.
"Cold water only," said Master Oakhallow. "There's the soap root and a towel."
He lit other candles in the chamber as he spoke.
"If you're tired of those clothes, you can wear this robe."
He pointed to a brown robe hanging from a peg.
"Now, I'll be out for a while. When you're through, go on back to the other room. Whatever you do, don't go outside the house. Is that clear?"
"Yes, sir," said Pox. "I won't."
"Good."
He turned and went back up the stairs. Pox saw the light of his candle dwindle down the passage. The little room was chilly and damp, but smelled clean and earthy. Pox started to wash her hands gingerly, but the cold water merely tingled instead of biting. She splashed it on her face, started to dry it, then glanced warily at the door. Surely he was really gone. She went up the steps and looked. Nothing. She came back down and looked at the water for a moment, then grunted and stripped off her clothes. She felt caked in dirt and sweat. She wet the soap root and scrubbed herself, then stood in the channel and scooped